Let's go straight to the word of God, shall we? Hallelujah. Kabashi kadabatoko lamayaka. Kina mashaya labaso. That's not the word, by the way. I'm speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Riabataka dabadikedikedibi. Hallelujah. Kubashaka dabawabakaya labasikedibi. Hallelujah. You edify yourself when you speak in tongues. You edify yourself when you speak in tongues. Shakabatikedibi. Just maybe for a couple of minutes, perhaps. Kina mataya lahama kia labashi kedebedebedebedebe. Hallelujah. Iya la masurubu wabakada bashakada badikedebedebedebe. Hallelujah. Tikada batakada badikedebe. Sometimes it brings small alignment. Sometimes slightly we go out of alignment. You know, something happened in the car in the morning. Child threw his milk all over you instead of drinking it. So sometimes it gets us a little bit off center, slightly. Just coming into the presence of God and just speaking in tongues gets us back in alignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first thing you get up in the morning, you start speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, it's going to set the tone for the day. In a positive way, obviously. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And I will read, you've got it, if you turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and I'm going to read. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." This is Elijah speaking to King Ahab, who was the husband of Jezebel, telling him, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, the God whom I serve, the God whom I worship, the God whom I obey, I am speaking on his behalf. There will be no dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Now, why no dew? Why no rain? Because Israel was idolatrous and sinful. Ahab, being a Jew, being the king of Israel, built altars, built a temple for Baal worship. And he also set up an Asherah pole. Now, what are these things? What is Baal? Who is Baal? Or what is an Asherah pole? Well, these are stupid demon gods that they were warned not to worship, that the children of Israel were warned explicitly by God, do not bow down to these things. Do not follow the detestable practices of those who worship Baal and Asherah and Ashtoreth and whatnot. There was another stupid demon god by the name of Molech. He required child sacrifice. He's made a big comeback. He's made a comeback of late, big time, requiring child sacrifice. So that was the spiritual climate in Israel. Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, killed God's prophets. That was the anger and the hatred and the bitterness that she had towards God's people. And you see things like that coming up. Outwardly, they dress very nice. Outwardly, they speak very politely. Outwardly, you know, they're all into being inclusive. But there is that they despise the things of God. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's not. But there, it wasn't. She killed God's prophets. So because of that, sin brings curse. Obedience brings blessings always until right now, until today. That principle has not changed. That spiritual principle has not changed. If we walk righteously before God, we will be blessed. If we walk in a way that brings disrepute to the body of Christ, to the kingdom, we will not enjoy the blessings that have been promised to us. So here we see Elijah speaking very boldly to the king. The king could have had him killed, impaled on a spit, but yet he knew who he was
He knew what he was called for. He knew the God he served. And that's so relevant to us today. Do we know who we are? Do we know who we serve and what we are called for? Now, he said, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. And before I go and expound on this particular statement that he made, except at my word, can we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verses 3 to 5? You've got it? Then I will read it. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ, Paul writes to Timothy, a junior, young, and upcoming pastor. He's talking to him. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Elijah knew his calling as a prophet, because we don't see God explicitly telling Elijah, go and talk to Ahab. Not yet. He will tell him afterwards when the rain is about to fall. But right now, it's as if Elijah is speaking on his own accord. But what gave him that authority to do so? Because he understood who he was as soldiers in the Lord's army. How many of us are soldiers in the Lord's army? Say, yes, sir. I didn't want to do that, but the songs brought me back to an earlier place in my life, so I remembered this song. How does the song go? I forget. I'm too old to fight in the camp or something like that. Yeah, I was actually, I'm too young, but yeah. So here we see, as soldiers in the Lord's army, you and I, are we soldiers in the Lord's army? We should not be concerning ourselves in civilian affairs. I cannot say that any louder. I can, but I won't. But I hope that we understand who we are, what we are called to do, and whom we serve, so that we will not be out of alignment, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and people. Soldiers in the Lord's army, we understand who the enemy is, what the battle is about. Civilians sometimes don't get it. They wrestle against flesh and blood. And everyone loses. Start slinging mud and throwing stones. We don't want that. We are fighting in the Lord's army. Amen? We need to know our call. And there is an authority that comes. Just like Elijah spoke to the king. Of course, in front, he was very brave. Like inside, we don't know how he was, because he was still a human being. But he spoke over the nation. He spoke over the skies. And he spoke to the king because he was aware that he did not play according to civilian rules. He represented a higher power. We represent a higher power. When Joshua went to the walls of Jericho, there was an angel standing there with a drawn sword. It was obviously an angel because he was probably like muscular, like Pastor Clarence, you know? And he was holding a drawn sword. And what did Joshua? Joshua was 80 years old. Generally, when you're 80, what do you do? Sleep. Porridge, they'll be feeding you porridge and, you know, whatever. 80 years old, he went up to the angel with his drawn sword, most likely, and said, are you for us or against us? Angel said, dude, chill. I'm neither for you nor against you. I serve a different power. Food for thought about what's happening right now in the world. A lot of people are taking sides here and there. The angel was very certain on who he served God. question is, Joshua, are you with God or not? You know? But there you go. Joshua also knew his call. He knew he was called to bring the walls down. And so he was brave and he was bold. But here we see in the same verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. There are rules and regulations. There is structure by how a child of God is supposed to live, is supposed to speak, is supposed to conduct themselves. We make mistakes. We confess our wrongdoings before the Lord. He forgives us. We repent. We get back with the program. We don't dwell on things that are not kingdom-minded. We represent a higher kingdom. We need and we ought to be focused on what our call is. We don't know. Maybe we need to spend some time in the presence of God. Lock your door. Come for man up. It's okay to spend some time away from your wife and children. 6 months is too long. A couple of days is fine. Elijah prayed for the rain to stop. And the rain stopped. For 3.5 years, that place was undergoing drought and famine. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being just like us, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Here we go. He spoke with authority, even though there was no explicit command. But how did he know? Because of the call upon his life. Because we are children of the Most High God. He shares his plans with his friends. So Elijah knew. You and I should also know the condition of the climate that we live in and what is required of us. We must be soldierly minded, if there is such a word, and not be civilianly minded. Again, I'm making up a word. But you get what I'm saying. We need to know who we are. And so he prayed. I mean, if I got an instruction, I would just go ahead and do it. But here, he spoke a word and then he prayed. Because he knew that his prayer is powerful, is going to carry much weight. And isn't it the same, likewise, with all of us? Because James 5:16 says what? The prayers of the righteous are powerful. They avail much. My Bible tells me that I am righteous. My Bible tells me that you are righteous. That guy over there doesn't look all that much righteous. But my Bible says that you are. The righteous need to start praying. You've already been given the authority and the tools and whatnot. Start praying. The righteous need to start praying. And so when Elijah prayed, what happened? The sky stopped raining. Well, the rain was stopped from the sky. And after that, a bunch of things happened. Elijah, he went to the brook at Kerith, and then ravens came and fed him. That was another Sunday school story, because I was told that ravens eat carrion and then they will eat the food. So there was a big Sunday school story there as well. And after that, you know, when the brook dried up, he went to a widow and a son who was planning their last meal. After that, they were going to die. And miraculously, God provided so that the food supply would not be exhausted. And after that, her son died. A lot of stories happened. We're not going to go through that right now. Her son died, and then Elijah raised the son up from the dead. And all those things happened. And after that, God spoke to Elijah. Go and see Ahab and tell him it's time for the rain to fall. It's time for the drought and the famine to end. And so what happens is he went to meet with Ahab, and he met his aide-de-camp, a guy by the name of Obadiah, and he said, go tell Ahab, I want to see him. Obadiah said, nope. Dude, I'm a righteous man. You will say you want to meet Ahab. When Ahab comes, God will take you somewhere, and then it's my head on the platter. And Elijah said, don't worry. I will be there. And then he went on to say, you know, I'm actually a good guy. When Jezebel was killing all the prophets, I hit 100 of them, 50 in this cave, 50 in that cave. And Elijah was, dude, too much information. I just need to meet with Ahab ASAP. I'll be here, I promise. And then what happened was, Elijah, if you go and read, he challenged the prophets of Baal. There was like 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Ashtoreth. He challenged them to a duel at Mount Carmel. If your God is the real God, bring down fire from heaven. Slaughter two bulls, but do not light them on fire. You know the story. You know the story. I'm just going to go through this really fast. And what happened was, the prophets of Baal, they took up the challenge. Prophets of Ashtoreth, they probably said, no, it's not going to happen. We know Asherah, she doesn't do this stuff. So they let Baal do it. He failed. The prophets of Baal were really, really, really confident that their God, their demon, stupid demon God, was going to answer. How were they confident? Stupid demon God, he had some amount of power. How were the prophets of Pharaoh able to turn their staffs into snakes as well? They had some form of magic power. But Moses' staff swallowed them whole. So I'm guessing those were red snakes. And Moses' staff was a king cobra, because king cobras, their favorite food is red snakes. I'm guessing, I don't know, probably. Yeah, where were we before the red snakes? So here we see the Asherah prophets, they were like 400, and they said, nope, we are not going to get involved in this. But those guys did, but they were not able to. And what happened? Elijah started mocking them and mocking them and mocking them. And then Elijah, you know, brought fire down from heaven. He prayed to God, and God brought fire down from heaven and consumed the offering. And immediately after that happened, immediately the prophets of Baal were slaughtered, for all 450 of them. I don't know about the prophets of Asherah. They probably ran and hid. They knew what was coming. Immediately after that, we find in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 45. And there are a few points I want you to pay close attention, because there are things that are very relevant to us right now, today, that we can implement and apply in our lives. Verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the winds rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. And there are a few points that are very poignant, very relevant to us today. We see that Ahab went off to eat and drink. Civilians, he was not a civilian, he was a king. But he went off to eat and drink and party. But what did Ahab do? He climbed up the mountain, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. And what that actually means is, that is a travailing prayer. God had already spoken. It was going to happen. But yet, you see the man of God going into prayer. He knew his call. He knew it was part of his responsibility.
He could have gone off and drank and slept and whatnot. And it was going to happen because God had spoken it. But this man had a stake in the kingdom of God. And I don't mean sirloin. We have a stake in the kingdom of God. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. We don't leave until the job's completely done. And we keep watch. We don't suddenly, I've done my job. Okay, Pastor Clarence, it's now your responsibility. I'm going. No, we are all in this together. Pastor Clarence is now playing at higher levels. Pastor Debbie is now playing at higher levels. What does that mean? They need to fight with higher devils. The devils that they used to fight with are just nothing but an annoyance now. We take over and beat up the annoying devils so that they can beat up the sinister ones. And believe me, some of these clowns are pretty sinister. Dumb, but sinister. And they need to meet with them. They need all of us to be on board. We don't leave halfway. We are there until the end. I mean, until the end, until your last breath. Or until the project is completed and those devils become annoying devils, and then they have to beat up some higher level devils. But there you go. Elijah put his face between his knees. It was a travailing kind of a prayer. Travailing meaning it was in agony, I suppose. He was praying until he saw some breakthrough. And after that, he told his servant, go towards the sea and see if there's anything there. And every time he came back, he said, nothing, nothing, nothing. 7 times Elijah told the servant to go and see if there's anything. God had already said it was going to happen. Was Elijah not having enough faith? No, he knew the voice of God, but he also knew his role and his task to play. He was going to see it until its fruition and completion, and he was not going to give up halfway. He was not going to get frustrated, even though he knew there wasn't anything the first time, the second time, the third time. Don't give up. If it came from the mouth of God, believe it and press on until you see it. Push, pray until something happens. Fully rely on God. Frog. Don't give up on the sixth time, because 6 times is a lot of times. One, some people, you know, people, vending machine, Christian mentality, one time it's a prayer ready, tomorrow must get, everything must happen. You get married today, next week you must be a grandpa already. Doesn't happen that way. So 6 times was plenty. But you see, 6 is man's number. It's man's number. Man was created on the 6th day. It's a man, it's a human number. He's talking about humanity. What does humanity mean? Good, but not good enough. 666. Devil's number. No, it's man's number. So why is it 3 times? Yeah, he tripled down. You being human, not good enough, and then you want to double down, also not enough. You want to triple down. I'm going to do it my way, my way, my way. 666. Devil's number. Bible says it's man's number. So there you go. 7th time it happened. You know, the number 7 appears so many times in the Bible. So many times in the Bible. Naaman had to dip 7 times in. Just happens over and over again. Why? Because it's talking about the completion. Completion. Wait, if you know God has spoken, you know. How do you know? Because you should know the voice of God. I know my sheep know my voice. You should know the voice of God. And you have, it has been confirmed by prophecy. Many men and women of God have laid hands over you and have prophesied. Don't give up at the 6th. It's a time. Wait and keep praying until something happens. Because waiting in Scripture is not passive. They that wait upon the Lord, they are going to walk, they are going to fly, they're going to run. So it's an active, it's an act of keeping our eyes fixed upon God. So Elijah did that. He prayed. So every time his servant went and came back, he prayed. And then he sent him out, sent him out, sent him out. And then we see on the seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. It's not going to do anything in the natural. In the natural, something, a small cloud, is not going to do anything. And there could be some people here, you have been sowing for many years. You could be, have been sowing for 7 years or 70 years. And all you see is a small cloud the size of a man's hand. It's okay. It's okay because it's not necessarily about you. Because eventually, that small cloud the size of a man's hand became an outpouring of heavy rain. So sometimes don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated if the harvest does not seem commensurate with the sowing. You're sowing, you're sowing, you're sowing, and you're working really hard, and you're being really obedient and faithful, and all you're getting is just a small cloud. It's a small cloud, and people can get frustrated, but he was not frustrated because he knew what was about to happen. There was, you know, the title of my sermon is The Resounding That Comes Before the Outpouring. And resounding actually talks about something which is obvious and loud and very, you know. But here there was only a cloud the size of a man's hand. But it was obvious and loud inside the spirit of Elijah. The rumblings had already taken place within him. He saw and heard the outpouring of rain within his spirit man. There was already the rumblings within his soul of a great deluge that was going to come upon that land. But it was inside of him. People of God, we need to understand what God is doing in this current situation, in this current time. Within us, there needs to be that resounding, that rumbling, that prompting. But that happens when we avail ourselves in prayer like Elijah. Unlike Ahab who went and ate and drank, where the rain? Why the rain not yet come? Where? I'm going to kill Elijah. But Elijah spent time praying. He knew, he saw the rain within his spirit. Amen. Why? Because he knew his role, and he was a praying man who did not give up praying and believing. Let's not give up praying and believing. Let's not give up coming to church as a family. Let's not give up whatever we have been called to do. Hallelujah. You know, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus was just talking to his disciples. He told them a parable, and then he said, and the reason he told them this parable in Luke 18, 1 says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. And I'm just going to close with this. Pastor Clarence only gave me 40 minutes. Oh, I don't know how much he gave me. Well, I'm kind of done because I didn't have the preamble. My preamble usually like takes like 10 minutes, and, you know, and then I go into... people come after that crying to me. So today, nobody's going to cry. But yeah, a soldier does not get involved in civilian affairs. You know, The Lord told me to preach on Elijah and the rain, and then suddenly the Spirit kept prompting, put this in there, put this in there, put this in there, put this in there. I'm raising up an army. Now the Lord is raising up an army, and we are part of that army. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. We need to put aside childish things. If we've fallen off the wayside, we need to rise up, repent, and get back and start manning our positions. Are you even gonna stop that? Gonna stop that. Get with the program. Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, for your kindness and your goodness. Oh, yakalabati kalabashakarabati kidibidibidibi. Hallelujah. 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 Some of us here have made a prayer, say, Lord, I'm ready to go to the next level. You've been praying for that, and you say, Lord, I need you to teach me. I need you to group me, hallelujah, and keep me close to you and educate me and teach me. Some of you have made that prayer because I can see sort of like cords surrounding you, cords of different colors. And I believe these are the seven spirits of God that come to teach and to bring you and prepare you to the place of active ministry, not just serving the Lord, but attack dog type ministry. Soldier. Crazy. Not involved in civilian affairs. Father, I just pray, oh God, hallelujah. I pray a blessing, oh God, over everyone that is present here today, Father. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness, oh God. You are raising up people. Hallelujah. If you have made that prayer, you say, Lord, I really feel I need to go to the next level. You need to teach me. If you could just lift up your hands, I would like to pray with you. I can see people here. Hallelujah. Lord, you see these hands, oh God. And Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Father, you have surrounded them, oh Lord, with these, hallelujah, Lord, this whirlwind of seven colors, oh God, just surrounding them, oh God, a cord of seven colors, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Angelic spirits, I believe, angels who come to teach and educate, oh God. Only, oh Lord, when the people are ready and they say, yes, Lord, it's all or nothing, oh God, I'm going to make an all or nothing commitment. Hallelujah. And the Lord is saying, it's fine if you make some mistakes along the way. Don't go into a shell. Don't go. Nope. You learn from your mistakes. You will be strengthened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you learn the proper way of doing things, the proper way of warfare, strategies of war, rules of engagement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I also see some people, they've made sort of like a prayer. You understand your position. You understand the kingly anointing that you carry. And you say, Lord, I will willingly take my crown and cast it before you because you are the King of Kings. Some of you have even said that. Hallelujah. The Lord is, hallelujah, hallelujah. He hears you. He hears you, hallelujah. You said that. You've thought about that, Lord. I will gladly cast my crown before you because you are the King of Kings. Lord has heard that. And I believe you are sensing that rumbling, that resounding of the outpouring that is about to come. Father, I just pray this, oh God, for everyone here, Lord. To those that have the resounding within their spirit, and to those who have not, oh God, to those who have not put it there, Lord. I pray, Father, that they will position and align themselves accurately, oh God. Deep calls to deep. I pray, Father, that they will just prepare their hearts, oh Lord, deep, deep. They will dig their wells deep to receive, oh God, that outpouring, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. Amen. God bless you, Destiny.